Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Coach Chat, Blog Talk Radio. This is Elise Ratner, and I am on the board of the ICF New York City chapter, and Coach Chat is sponsored by the International Coach Federation, New York City, and we're an extension of our member meetings. So we're Coach Chat on the radio and Coach World TV as well. Our intention is really to offer coaches, it's about coaches, it's for coaches, it's to talk about our client issues, it's to understand our profession a little bit better. It's another place for coaches to discuss different tools that they're using, different methods. And really, it's an opportunity for us to get to know who's out in the field, who's practicing, who's coaching, what are our subject matter expertise. And so I also like to introduce my co-host today, Paulette Rao. Hi, Paulette.
Hello, everybody.
And today, our subject matter expertise is mind, body, spirit coaching. And it's really wellness coaching. And today, we're very happy to have with us Mary Ann Flanagan, who is a certified life coach from New York University. She is a shamanic practitioner and teacher and the creator of Toning the Om. Yes, Toning the Om is an international company that is committed to nurturing body, spirit, and heart connections through experiential workshops, retreats, healing, and coaching sessions. Mary Ann is a member of the International Coach Federation and the Institute of Coaching Professional Association. She recently studied coaching in medicine and leadership with Harvard Medical School. Mary Ann has a private healing and coaching practice in New York City. Welcome, Mary Ann.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. So I understand a little bit about what you do, and I'm very, very intrigued by toning the Om and the impact it has on our wellness. Mm. Can you give us... I guess just maybe start how you got interested in wellness coaching in the first place.
Sure. So for me, wellness, or what I see as well-being, really started with myself. And it really started probably 11 years ago at the passing of my mom when she passed away in 2000. And I was going through a tremendous amount of grief. And nothing was working to move this grief. No matter what I tried, running around the block, talking to people, nothing was working. And at the same time as I was going through this period, I was also doing a lot of work in the South Bronx with young people. I was a director of a youth program and with people who were struggling and funders who basically wanted me to write grants for delinquent youth. So I was labeling these struggling young people as delinquents and writing really bad things about them in order to get more money. And it didn't make sense to me. And so I thought, well, you know, what if we tried something different? What if we tried asking young people what they were good at? So I was doing that at the same time as I was invited to participate on retreats where there were drumming circles. And I'm not a musician, and I'm not, you know, I wouldn't consider myself musically talented, but there was something about these drumming circles and movement that something began to shift in me. And so I decided to see if the young people were interested in drumming themselves and having this experience. So I started to incorporate some drumming, some dance, some movement into the youth program, and something shifted in them too. Their grades started to go up. They started to stay in school, and the next thing you knew, I had a waiting list for my youth program in the South Bronx. Mm. And so all of this was kind of merging at the same time as I was going through, you know, my own stuff, that by the time I was ready to move on from my work in the South Bronx, one of the things I did is I asked the young people what it is they loved about the youth program and what would they tell other people in the community about, you know, why this was a great program, why would you want to come? And the thing that stood out to me and the reason I really feel like I got involved is because of their answer, which to this day I use in every training, is they had said the youth program for them was about place, space, voice, and choice. Mm. And for me, that was the voice that I needed to hear to see, well, what's next? What kind of, you know, healing is out there in terms of, I translated that as mind-body-spirit connections. You know, a place to go, a space that was safe, having a voice and having choices. And from there, all that kind of spiraled into this, what started out as a small drumming circle has turned into a company that at the time I had no intentions of finding or, you know, creating, but it just spiraled into something bigger. So it really was everything happening at the same time over a 4 or 5 year period that kind of, the music moved me, the young people moved me, and this came from that place.
So do you create your own music, or do you have music that you beat to, or how does that get incorporated?
Well, for some of the workshops, it's more music is incorporated in terms of drumming circles or different instruments to relate. In terms of, you know, whether it's coaching or some one-on-one stuff, it's probably more visualizations or a sense of one's own rhythm. So I have people find their own rhythm or create their own rhythm that's theirs. So whether it's their heartbeat or whether it's a sound or whether it's finding a voice or whether it's writing, it's empowering people to find their own rhythm and not necessarily get caught up in the rhythms that we've been told we have to be or have to do in the world. So it's incorporated in different ways.
Marianne, you said the word choice before.
Mm.
How does choice play into it, or is that what you just mentioned about, you know, choosing your rhythm? Just talk more about the choice piece for me.
I think for choice, for the different parts, is that it's always about invitation. So for choice for me, it's the invitation to try different methods, to try different breathing techniques, to try different rhythms, to try different practices, to try a different modality, and giving people a sense of what would they choose for themselves, for their own nourishment. So when they think about really defining their own nourishment, which for me is about wellness and well-being, it's how do they want to choose to nourish themselves? How do they want to choose to stay nourished? You know, what choices do they have, or, you know, what's out there, what's available, and helping them create that.
So is that in addition to the drumming, or is that a part of the program where you talk about the choices that exist and how to make the choices that support you? Help me understand how the choice plays into the program.
Choices is both a part of the coaching experience, so whether it's a one-on-one, or choices are a menu of different things that I offer in terms of whether it's a one-on-one healing session or a one-on-one coaching session or coming to a workshop or an all-day event or a circle. So it runs the gamut from an individual choice part of the session to having choices of how they want to engage in their mind, body, spirit practices, what's for them. So, you know, toning the Om isn't, it's coaching, but it's also a healing practice. It's also workshops. I also go to business wellness fairs throughout the city, and I meet with different companies to see how they can incorporate wellness and give them choices. So it's small and big.
So you have multiple wellness modalities, I hear.
Mm.
How would you actually define wellness within your own coaching world? Your healing world?
I think wellness, and I'm moving into like that well-being. I just am more into the beingness lately. But it's really looking at the whole person, which I know coaching in general like has that idea that, you know, we're whole and resourceful and creative. But for me, it's looking at who we are inside, you know, how we connect, what motivates us, and not just like fitness, you know, and nutrition, but the whole idea of all parts of ourselves, you know, the spiritual parts, the intellectual parts, the social emotional parts, but really the evolving process of kind of who we are inside and out. So wellness is what helps us stay connected to our own care. in a nutshell.
It's a holistic approach.
Yes.
Got it.
So you mentioned before that this became important to you for organic reasons. You were going through your own grief and wanted to move forward very powerfully, and you know, there really wasn't anything that was helping you, you know, get on the path to do that. Mm. So, and I also heard you say about, you know, the children really empowering these, the youth to start owning their power and moving forward. So today, you know, looking back on what you've done and looking forward to what you will be doing, why is this important to you?
Because I can actually wake up and look at who I am now compared to, you know, the context of who I was 11 years ago. It's a complete either 180 or 360 or whatever math you want to use in terms of what gets me up in the morning, what gets me going, you know, what moves me forward. It's that I don't have to stay in the same place. You know, what was so, you know, grief-stricken and you know, everything was so difficult is now I feel like things move, they're organic. And that's, I think, the lesson I learned from the teenagers, that despite all the stuff they had going on and all the odds they had against them, they were both resilient and organic. They just went with the flow. They just, if they felt like dancing, they danced. They felt like shouting, they shouted, you know. When it was time for homework, yeah, okay. You know, it was just, it was watching that and then growing from that and saying, I think this is something I can give to the world. I think this is something I can share, and I don't have to keep it to myself. And I think that was the shift from just me doing it with a small group of young people to saying, I think there's more people out there that wouldn't mind looking at this and putting myself out there. And that was kind of the catalyst for me.
How do you see the mind-body-spirit connection playing a part in coaching? How do you incorporate that, I guess, into your coaching practice?
There's a few, you know, it depends on the person, to be honest, and why they're coming. But, you know, people who come to me know that the approach is going to be mind, body, spirit. So in terms of, you know, I define it as when you're thinking about the mind, that we're going to look at people's thinking and the thought patterns and some of the habits and kind of opening them up. There might be times for, you know, the body, you know, to think about physically, what might they need either in the session? Do they need to move? Do they, you know, do they need to do something in between that's physical to kind of move the energy or move themselves? And then in terms of spirit, a lot of it is about nourishment. And I go back to with a lot of people that, you know, a lot of the folks I work with are caretakers of everybody else. And, you know, they're perfectionists and, you know, so there's not a lot of self-care, paying attention to self-care. So in terms of the spirit, the thing that shows up a lot is that sense of nourishment. You know, what nourishes you and what sustains that? Because some of it could be temporary, you know. So what will keep that going? So it's incorporated by thinking questions. Sometimes it's incorporated with visualizations. So there might be a breath work, or might be invited to close your eyes and do a visualization. You might be asked even to physically move. And then to think about, you know, nourishment, not just what you put in your mouth in terms of food, but in terms of how do you feed your soul? How do you feed your spirit? What moves you?
Right. That nourishment is actually our primary food.
Mm.
And the food that we eat is actually becomes secondary. So I understand, that's the work that I do as well, Marianne. So I understand exactly, you know, where you're coming from on this. I wanted to change the tone just for a minute. I was reading your website and came across Lessons from Lady Gaga. And I thought I would pick it up a notch and hear from you some lessons that we can learn from her that you've written about.
Well, Paul, I will know, too, that whether it's the New York City subway or a cab driver or Lady Gaga, I can pretty much find a metaphor or a story with everything and everybody I meet. That's just how my brain works. So there's something for there's a lesson to be learned everywhere I go. And so, you know, here I was going to this concert with some family, and, you know, I like her music, and, you know, I'm going and I'm singing. And at the end, what I was, you know, writing in the blog was that she has that song out, Born This Way. And I just found it so poignant and powerful about this idea of self-acceptance, that you're perfect just the way you are, and it doesn't really matter. And if you could love yourself and love yourself more, like throughout her whole concert, she would give these positive messages about that you are enough, and you can love yourself more when you leave the concert than before you came. And, you know, don't let anybody put you down. Like, she was bullied, and yet here she is on a national stage at this concert sold out, and she was being filmed by HBO. So that, you know, to not let anyone squash your dream, that there's nothing you can't do. And here is this woman who's, you know, obviously successful and very rich, and her message, and to watch the young people around me crying was incredible. They were listening to every word she had to say, and then I realized so was I. And that it doesn't matter whether you're 15 or 50 or 100, that I think all of us continually need to hear the message that we're okay, that we're enough, and that we're perfect just the way we are. We're born this way. And so that was pretty powerful for me.
Well, thank you for sharing that.
I'm gaga for gaga.
Me too.
Yeah.
So talk to us a little bit about the 5 keys to wellness.
Well, you know, whether I'm coaching or at a wellness fair, or even when I'm going to write a blog or do something, I think, you know, this idea of wellness and mind, body, spirit, it's important, you know, as we know, for coaching to really define it and get clear. But for me, it's also, because I do mind, body, spirit, I need to visualize it. So for me, the 5 keys include visualize wellness. You know, what would it look like in every form and fashion, whether you're, you know, somebody that wants to go hiking or jump out of an airplane, or, you know, you want to be sitting in Paris with a, you know, cocktail next to you, whatever it is, what is that, what does it look like, you know? So for the first piece of wellness for me is to visualize it. The second key in wellness is to care enough about yourself to take an honest look or an honest inventory of where you are. And I think that's where a lot of people that at least I work with get stuck. It's really saying, this is where I'm at, and this is an honest inventory, because we all want to BS a little bit, and we all want to, you know, be maybe in a different place. So it can be tough to be honest. And I think to be honest is one of the most important factors in this, to make changes and to find support, which leads into the third one. A friend of mine, back in college, a friend of mine used to say, you are who you hang out with. So I always say, who's in your Fab Five? Like, you know, who are your key supporters? Are there people that pick you up, or are they people that put you down? Do they hold you back, or do they support you? Do they have your back? So when you're looking at mind, body, spirit, and wellness, it's about looking for that peer support, and who can you ask for help? The fourth key to wellness is aware of our choices, which I call with clients conscious living. We walk around, you know, most of the time unconscious. We're robots. We just do things. We get up, we make the coffee, we get dressed, you know, or we shower, then we get dressed, we get on a bus or whatever, we go to work, we come home. But what part of that day was conscious? And so I have people look at the idea of staying aware and to getting out of the autopilot mode.
Mm.
And the last one, I referred to this before, but I think the real key to wellness, honestly, is from my experience of working with people, is releasing perfection in order to be well. We think we have to do everything perfectly in order to be, you know, well, healthy, perfect people on this earth. And most people, they don't like to make mistakes, myself included. You know, I'm probably the first person to say, oh, you know, I did something wrong, I wrote something wrong, whatever. And so many people are, you know, overdoers and overachievers. And what scares us more is not the doing. It's actually the stillness. And so that's why I think wellness, for me, has really been about taking that time out and being still. And that frightens so many people, that quiet space, that quiet time. But it's really about reconnecting. So it's visualize, ask for support. You are who you hang out with. Conscious living and releasing perfection.
Wow, that was wonderful, Marianne.
Thank you so much. Being
later of living life mindfully.
Yes.
And there's so much being written now about the pursuit of perfection, how our pursuit of perfection, our frantic pursuit of perfection, keeps us from happiness. And it's just a fascinating concept to really dig deep into and see how that carrot constantly hanging in front of your nose keeps you from feeling good about what is.
I agree. I think so. I mean, it's huge. I would say 90% of the people I work with, and I think it comes from, you know, you're attracted to that because you have a part of that yourself, like attracts like, that idea that we have to be perfect and that there's a self-condemnation that exists if we're not, if, you know, if we're not enough, if we're anything feels less than. And it's exhausting. And I would say that that's the other piece of it, is that why aren't we well? Because we are exhausted. We're an exhausted humanity.
Because it's never enough, right?
It's never enough.
I don't do enough. I don't have enough. I don't make enough. I need another promotion. I need another degree. I need more training. I need more clients. I need more time.
Right.
I need to get fitter. I need to lose more weight. I need to look better. I need to look younger. Blah, blah. Right?
Yeah. Right, on and on, and it's the spiral in the monkey mind, and then, you know, then we don't sleep. We're up all night, you know, worrying, or, you know, and then it has the health effects.
Yeah. Albert Ellis wrote this great book about it called A Guide to Rational Thinking, like 50 years ago, and he really just talked about the irrational thoughts that human beings have that keep us from feeling satisfied and happy. Like, we have these irrational thoughts. And, you know, it's funny. Now I'm going to bring from Albert Ellis to Gaga. But that's what this way for me is about.
Right.
It's like taking, you know, theoretical psychology and applying it. You know, it's applied positive psychology that we've each got to say enough to Madison Avenue, enough to all the pressures, enough to all the outside things that press on us to do more, be more, give more, get faster, better, et cetera. Yeah. So I really have to agree, you know, of all the things that you said, they're all so poignant. But the fifth one about just accepting what is, and as Byron Katie that we were talking about before says, you know, just loving what is, being okay with what is, it's so damn hard, but it's really the key.
I know.
Marianne. That's great.
Yeah, we're always so busy. And that's the thing I have people watch, too, is that idea of, you know, I probably have 3 calendars myself, right? So we're multitasking. We have iPhones and Blackberries and Outlook. And, you know, you look at your calendar and you see that, you know, you go to work 9 to 5. Maybe you go to the gym 5 to 7. Maybe you have a meal. Maybe you're with family. But everything is chunked out as separate parts of our life. And the biggest part of what I do for a living is I help people integrate all parts of their life, because we're not just one. You know, I'm not just an employee. I'm not just a company owner. You know, I'm a partner. I'm a drummer. I'm a writer. I'm all of it, and I'm none of it. So to help people kind of, you know, you don't always have to have the 9 to 5, the 5 to 7, the 7 to 9. And how do we weave that? You know, how do we weave all that integration? And I think that's really our work. Our work exists in integration.
Mm-hmm. It goes back to what you said before about the beingness and presence. It's like first we have to get present, and then bring that to all of life's activities.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Marianne, what are the big life lessons, or any lessons or tips or words of wisdom that really resonate with you that you'd like to, or tools that you want to share with our listeners?
I would say that some of the tools are to kind of look at dimension. So the tools, like one of the models I use is Bill Hettler's model of the dimensions of people.
I never heard of it. Say it again, Marianne.
Bill Hettler, H-E-L-T-E-R. and he has the six dimensions of people. And what he says in his model is basically to look at the six parts of your life: the physical, the spiritual, the intellectual, the social, emotional, and occupational. And so in that sense, we look at kind of the whole being, the wellness, the beingness of people, and we start with one of those dimensions, and we work through them, similar to whole life model, if you will, that
right.
kind of gets a sense of, you know, where are people at.
So that's our circle of life and how we
exactly.
find ourselves on it.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And then for people who are more into kind of the, so that's for people who are more like the straight coaching model and prefer that. And then what I'll do as a tool for people who are really open to mind, body, spirit, who maybe they have a meditation practice, because I also incorporate meditation in many pieces of my work, is visualization. So another tool is to have people visualize themselves maybe at the top of a mountain or a cliff, and to see their life, if they were looking down on it, what does it look like right now? And then if they were looking past a horizon or past a mountain, what does it look like a year from now, 5 years from now? And for people who are artists, so I work with a lot of artists and different creative people, for them to see it and to draw it is actually pretty moving and powerful. So that's just it's a totally different tool than the other one, but also one that I have found pretty powerful with people. Really kind of that 360 image, that 360, looking at our life from a 360 view, kind of looking all around.
Cool. Well, thank you for sharing that. And as Elise said, yeah, it reminds me of the whole life model, really looking at your life like a geodome, looking at all the facets and prisms and, like you said, how they integrate.
So how can we find you? We're starting to wind our call down. How can we find you? What sorts of workshops are you working on currently? And where can someone find you?
They can find me by going to my website, which is toningtheom.com. And they can find various services in terms of one-on-one coaching or one-on-one healing practice, which incorporates some energy work. So I give different workshops on healing. Actually, there's one this Saturday in New Rochelle. And I give telecourses. And the one coming up is the end of March 29th, which is based on the song Groove is in the Heart, which is in the 80s or early 90s, A Course in Self-Love. So we're going to look at different practices of self-love, and that's an hour and a half telecourse at the end of March.
Wonderful. So Toning the Om. And that's TONINGTHEOM.
Yes.
Well, you're really, you're very inspiring for people to get connected, to stay mindful, to release perfection, and to realize that it's not necessary to live our lives that way. I like your five keys to wellness.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very helpful. Thank you so much, Marianne.
Sure. I think it keeps people moving. I think one of the things, too, that I've learned in doing this work is that we don't play enough and have enough fun. We're very serious, you know. So one of my teachers would say, take your work very seriously, but don't take yourself seriously. And I think that's a great line because it's true. We take ourselves so seriously. So in a lot of this work, it's about when people are motivated, it's because they're having fun, because they have a sense of joy and accomplishment. Maybe they love learning, and they're feeling calmer. You know, we're in that still place. We can make better decisions than in that frantic place. So how do we stay calm and still? And that's kind of tough, too, these days with all the stimulation.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for your expertise today, Mind, Body, Spirit Coaching, Marianne Flanagan, Paulette Rao, and Elise Ratner, and we are just about to sign off. Until next, thank you so much again.
Thank you.
Yep. Thank you for joining us on Blog Talk Radio. I'm Paulette Rao. Have a great evening. Bye.